Welcome to Cobras and Fire, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network. Today, we've got an episode packed with new features, just like Holodeo 2.0. So, let's kick this off with a podcaster national anthem. You can leave me alone in the basement, and I'll be at home cause it's in my head. Hanging out with my friends in the basement.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined, of course, by the relaxed Loose Cannon. How are you this evening, Loose?
I am excellent. I am back from the perfectly rated desert known as Palm Springs. And yeah, I'm ready to do a show. I don't know about you. Having a beer. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I am too. And well, you know, I always look forward to our conversations. It helps me get away from... oh, God, the grind, baby. And I understand you've had a little bit more of a getaway from the grind.
I did. And we'll go into that a little bit later. But I think we have some important business to take care of first.
Sure, yeah. Let's just remind everybody that we will be back at Rockin' Pod 3, which is happening August 10th in Nashville. Go buy tickets, join us, come hang out with us. We're easily accessible guys, and we're just as smug in real life as we are on the air here. So go to rockinpod.com for more information there. We'll be tricking a lot more details as we get closer. But, yeah, I know off the top of my head Michael Sweet is going to be there. And hopefully we can get Cobrafest back on board, huh? Yeah.
Sure. No, actually, it's already been canceled.
Okay, good. Well, otherwise we could have had Stripe R there. But, yeah, hopefully we get Michael Sweet over at our table and ask him if he can do some pirate impersonations for us. I'm sure you can come up with some slogans for him to say.
I will definitely write down things that I'll probably end up not asking him.
Right on.
But can I just mention one of the things, one of the guests that I'm encouraged and excited about that is attending, and I think it's just the beginning, is Dave Ellefson.
Yeah, my fellow Minnesotan native.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to probably be pimping his coffee, which I've heard is excellent. Have you had it?
It's actually very good. No, yeah. I like it quite a bit.
What is it called? What's the name of it?
Sure, just Ellefson coffee.
That's it?
I thought. Well, he has different flavors. I think I bought Roast in Peace.
Is that really the name?
That's yeah, the good one I got. Yeah, I got the beans though. I figure if I'm going to drop $20 for a bag of coffee, I want the
grind
process. Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, we did a 3-part series on Megadeth. That would be incredible to sit down with them and just to at least interview them. And also, the night before the expo is the Rock and Roll Residency, and supposedly they're going to be quote guest stars. So I don't think it's that far of a of a crazy idea that he would jump on stage and do like P-Cells or play the or Hangar 18. I mean, I can play the intro to Hangar 18. I don't know about you. I've got Unskinny Bop, Lick It Up, and the bass line of Hangar 18 down.
Yeah, yes? I'm waiting for the Rock and Roll Residency to reach out for me to be a special guest. You
ooh,
know?
That's
you
true. Know,
get Baco from the Jesus Chrysler on stage with them, you know. Bring a little star power to the table, baby.
Beer!
Yeah, man, what are you drinking tonight? I think we're drinking the same thing again.
We are. This was a lot easier to find. And who do we have to thank for this beer?
This goes out to Sean Cullen. Well, Sean, who, by the way, is much like Bill Elam, our last contributor, is a huge supporter of podcasts. As a matter of fact, he has been at both Rockin' Pods, and he takes a Greyhound bus from Montana. That's how much it means to him.
Holy shit.
He supports so many shows. I see him in all sorts of chat rooms and groups. He actually, will, you know, we're friends on Facebook. He comments on my own posts and vice versa. I've obviously had the chance to meet him in Nashville a couple times. Just a really smooth, down-to-earth, cool guy, and very passionate about music, and just a great advocate for everything that us podcasters try to do. You know, he's the kind of guy that we're talking to. But yeah, he bought us. You want to try? It's a Hefeweizen, but what do you say the name of this thing, man?
Franziskaner Weissbier from Munich. Since 1363, and now made it the Coors factory down the street from me.
In Golden, Colorado.
No, it is. Oh, it's right though. It's made in St. Louis though, so it's at the Budweiser factory.
Okay, that's all. That's all the. That has to be about when InBev, that European giant, yep, bought Anheuser-Busch. Now sure, they're just like, you're making Frank Schnauzer.
Yeah,
I'm gonna let you go first. I will tell you this. I've not had this one, but the first time I had a beer that I went, this is disgusting, it was a Hefeweizen.
No, it's fine. Every time I have these, I'm just like, they're okay. But they're very, what do you call them, hazy, whatever the description
is. Yeah, it's like you can't see through it. You know, it's like when you go get that ginger beer and it's made naturally and it tastes like fucking garbage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like this. It's like watered down milk.
But my question is, first off, you know that the InBev, the whole takeover was right. The whole purpose was to get the Franziskaner into their arse and their arsenal. We're doing all we need is the Franziskaner.
It's a way to shove this shit into the market.
That's right. But my question is, as a picture of a guy that may be a monk, what the fuck is he holding? Is it a man bag? What is this thing? With his keys, got three keys. Are you looking at the label?
Yeah, it's like I think it's a goose that's been lit on fire, and he's got the three keys to the Pope's kingdom.
Yes, this was the original cover for, I think, a Halloween album.
If not, it's going to be the cover of my solo album.
Yeah, and he's got like a 40 ounce in his
called Drunk
hand.
Monk.
That's a drunk monk. But it's amazing. And again, Sean, I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
So you enjoy it. What's the alcohol intake on this thing?
I'm sure it's like 5%. Does it even say on this?
I'm trying to find it. No, mine
no.
doesn't.
This is one of those things, like the Killians, it tells you that you're going to get 170 calories shoved in you from this red. But this one tells you nothing, not even the alcohol. It's just a guess. You just have to guess. Back right, in my day, we didn't know any calories that the beer had. We weren't told these things.
Let me go. I'm going to take my drink here, okay? Hold on.
All right. Oh, you haven't even had it. That was my review. You give you yours.
You know, I think when Dio put a shot in Sharon, he missed, and it ended up in my beer bottle. Oh, my Lord.
Matt, you mean?
No, Dio.
Oh, that's right, Dio's, yeah.
Anyway, actually, this is it's not too bad. It's definitely smoother than I was anticipating. It doesn't have that liquefied steak effect I was anticipating. Once again, thank you, Sean, for the beer. Anybody else that feels like can contributing, they sure can. Lewis, how do they do that?
Sure. If you want to give us something imported from Golden, St. Louis, or Indianapolis, you can go to gofundme.com/absolutelydrink Or, for your convenience, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Cobras and Fire. And right at the top of that page, there's a Shop Now button. It's not going to take you to a shop. It's going to take you to that GoFundMe page where you can, for $5, have us review the beer, give you a shout out, and help our hosting costs.
Well, you're back from a little getaway with the wifey. Was it Palm Springs where you went?
That's right. I did not know, because I don't know a lot of things. I know a lot about KISS, but I know very very little about geography and things that are useful. By the way,
you just summed up my entire life.
I know. Can you imagine if we could use our powers for good?
Yeah, well, I thought we were.
Think
this
about
is
this.
The best we can do, man.
Think about this, though. It's been 4 years. Think about the hours turning into days and months that we've spent in basements doing our hollow barking and putting this out for the masses, for entertainment and things like that. But imagine, in that time, we could have gone – we could have got an additional degree. We could have learned some skill. We could major in computer science or something like that. Somehow, or imagine if we just put that time towards Habitat for Humanity. Think of any buildings we could have made.
That sounds horrible, man.
Yeah, let's get back to just talking about blabbermouth articles.
Jimmy Carter's out there. They don't need us. He's like 96-year-old guy with a hammer building a house, and you and I are like talking about how old McMars might be.
Anyway, somebody's got to dig ditches. Somebody's got to go into basements and talk into a microphone, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there's roles for everybody. So anyway, Palm Springs, California. Never knew it was a desert. Never knew it. Didn't know it. I just – and by the way, that is where – Palm Springs is also where right around the corner from Coachella. Did you know that?
I did know that. And isn't it also where Ace Frehley lives in a house that's bigger than Gene's?
I don't know. But it also is the Sonny Bono was the mayor of Palm Springs before he ran into a tree.
I guess I could have named the city. I probably would have picked someplace in Colorado. But I guess that's where he died.
Yes, that's where he died and was mayor. He died in Colorado. Yes, he died.
He didn't ski
in the desert. No. But anyway, so Palm Springs, just to let you know, is amusing because it's so much old Hollywood that they have streets named like Sonny Bunny Boulevard, Bunny, Bono, 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 Bono,
Bono, Bono,
Bono.
I got you, babe.
Okay, all right. But then they have Dinah Shore Drive and stuff like that. Like. Like these people were old when we were young. They have a walk where it's what do they call it in Hollywood? The Walk of Fame? Is that it?
Yeah.
They have that there where it's the walk of who the fuck is this? Because I probably went over 20 stars and I'm pretty good at movies and everything like that and culture. I've never heard of any of these people. So here's the thing. I want to tell you about the greatest scam known to man. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
The Joshua Tree.
Oh, you went to Joshua Tree, huh?
What do you mean that I went to Joshua Tree? What do you think that means?
Joshua Tree is a state park.
It is a state park, but you know what?
It's also the iconic album by U2 released in 1987. And the reason I got a flat top and immediately regretted it.
You did not do that.
I did, totally.
Because of Bono?
Yeah, it was during my Christian rock phase, and it turned out like U2 was acceptable for people that wanted you to burn your rock records. And so this kind of like the cool, like that cool hip pastor, imagine that kind of character who borrowed me a copy of the U2 record. Not my cup of tea ever. There's a couple songs or whatever. Yeah, if I'm listening to U2 now, it's Octoon, baby. But anyway, the drummer, what's his name, fucking has a flat top, and I was thinking about getting a haircut. I had long, like, metal hair.
Sure.
And yeah, so I got the flat top, and like you would not believe the panic that set over me like the hours after getting that haircut. It was traumatic.
So you're trying to be the Edge?
No, not the Edge, the drummer.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah, drummer.
Exactly. The guy nobody cares about. So anyway, so the Joshua Tree. Let me tell you the vision that I had in my ignorant mind going into Joshua Tree, okay? First off, I don't know the Palm Springs is a desert.
Well, Joshua, how many Quaaludes did you bring with?
None. So
well, there's a problem, man.
Yeah, all right. So the wife says, all right, we're going to Joshua Tree. So I have this idea that Joshua Tree is the Joshua Tree. Like we are going to go out to this park. And there is going to be there is going to be one tree called the Joshua Tree, and this fucking tree is going to be something that inspires an album by U2. This is going to be the tree that the Doors were under and smoked peyote to and discovered God and the meaning of life and everything. No, let me tell you what the Joshua Tree is. They're glorified. Here it is. The working title for U2's album is called Glorified Cactus. That's all they are these are basically cactuses with limbs. In the desert, there's nothing to that park. It's nothing but sand, man. That's it.
It's fucking sand, Joshua trees, and Eric Roberts.
Why is Eric Roberts there?
Well, he's always there. Where do you get your fucking peyote from?
Yeah, Eric Roberts is like the Sylvester Stallone, Frank Stallone of Julia Roberts. Yes?
Yeah, sort of, except for he actually had a career years before she did.
Whatever.
But yeah, she's the star and he's the sidekick, yeah.
No, but I'm out there and I just think that all I could think of is I was looking for a singing bush, like from Three Amigos. I was looking for and at one point, just to piss off.
If you would have ran into Eric Roberts and got some peyote, you would have seen that.
She'll be riding sick, my horses when she comes.
Excuse me.
Come on.
Are you the singing bush?
Follow the sea with a yeah, ho, we'll blow the man down. I'll pay attention and listen.
Let
to
me talk to him.
Excuse us. Are you the singing bush?
Yeah, ho, blow the man down. Yeah, ho, blow the man down.
Hello?
Yeah, ho,
hi.
Blow the man down.
Hi.
Give me some time to blow the man down.
Excuse us!
Good night, ladies. Good
hey!
Good night, ladies. Good night, ladies. We're gonna leave you now. Merrily we roll.
Forget
along,
it.
Roll
my
along,
guess is
roll
this
along,
is the singing merrily. Bush.
Flash metal on the stereo. 16 hours a day. Yeah, driving a shit heat splitter. We got to get to L.A. We got
I do have a comment on the hotel we were staying at that happened to have four bachelorette parties going on. So a lot of penis straws. Okay.
It's like going to a convention in Orlando and then all of a sudden realizing you're just surrounded by children.
That's what it was. Like they were. But I don't understand. I said bachelorette parties. When did it? How did it become part of our culture that at some point you can? It's okay and acceptable to just have a cock on your head or around, or just like for a cock necklace. Or
it was just before things were not awesome, and then when things became awesome, I think it was 1972.
It's like, why is – with all this stuff about, you know, hashtag Me Too, or why is this still – does this still exist?
The hashtag whole, mushroom stamp. Boom.
No, I just want to make sure you understand this. From the pool, I could see that the bachelorette suite up on the balcony had, no joke, a 10-foot cock on the front of the door. I have a picture. I will share it with you. That was on the front of it. Like, here is your suite.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt once stayed here. So did the Jeanine Frenette bachelorette party of 2019. You know, it reminds me of the joke I always think of every time I'm in the Spencer's and an employee asks me if they can help me find anything. And I'm always like, oh, well, you know, actually, I'm looking for ice cube trays shaped like penises, a beaded curtain with a pot leaf on it. And do you have any shot glasses that say, fuck you, you fucking fuck?
Yes, that will complete the collection, don't you think? Yeah,
that's what I'm looking, you know, that's on I got my list here. Like, who the fuck goes into Spencer's looking for something specific? I'm going in there to kill time and maybe come out with a black light. You know, I need a lava lamp, a black light poster.
Yeah, whoever the black light manufacturers are, their only client is Spencer's.
You know what? You're not wrong. I don't know if you recall, but my beer fridge in the basement has a black light in it, and it just went out. Guess where I got the replacement bulb?
No, I mean those places are just sweating the entire time. I hope Spencer's does not go down. I mean, if you look around Spencer's, I'm like, you think one thing, and that is, how is anybody buying anything here because they're all unemployed?
Oh, I'm sorry. We just sold our last belt buckle shaped like a gun that also is a beer bottle opener.
I mean, my God. I mean, you talk about the perfect marriage is Kiss paraphernalia and Spencer's.
You know, my eraser's wet. My eraser's well worn.
God damn!
All right, my erasers. My erasers well worn, because I make a lot of mistakes. But this ain't no Spencer's crap. And I got a pro tip. All good things come in threes. Coins and 3-for-$1 chips at the Dollar Tree.
I got taste, I got dust, I got all those.
Baby Metal is coming out with an album this year. Do you know anything about it?
This is the first I'm hearing of it, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I don't know how. I thought the Baby Metal hotline would have went off here at some point, but no, it did not.
All right, well, anyway. Yeah, it's actually a concept album. It's like they're...
Shut up.
No, I'm not kidding you. This is the, this is what
this
the press
is not list. Like one of your working title bits.
No, it's a concept album. It's like their music from The Elder, I think. Do you want to know the name of the album?
I want Baby
Metal
to actually redo the music from The Elder just to like it's metal for guys that are turned on by 11-year-old Japanese girls.
So anyway, yeah, no, it is a concept album. Can I just tell you more about it?
Yeah, of course.
The name of the album is called Yentl of Doom, and the plot is it's a gang of young cross-dressing Asian girls.
Yentl, like that Barbra Streisand movie, or?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yentl of Doom. It's about a gang of young cross-dressing Asian girls who, against child service's wishes, are taken by an archaeologist on extremely dangerous...
Wait, it actually says against child service's wishes?
Yeah, this is all real. Again, it's about a gang of young cross-dressing Asian girls who, against child service's wishes, are taken by an archaeologist on an extremely dangerous adventure filled with doom. Would you like to hear some of the tracks?
You know, I think you and Wally Gator are maybe co-producers of this record or something. But yeah, carry on.
Sure. So it starts off with the first track.
Wow, holy smoke, crash landing.
And then we have...
Okie dokie, Dr. Jones, hold on to your potatoes.
And then we have...
No mistake.
Mistake.
I'm very little. You, she's very big.
And then we have... They also have a track that I think is going to be your favorite track called Damn, that ceiling fan is well built. There's also a track called Let's Outrun Water, and it closes with Holy fuck, someone built a roller coaster inside of a mountain.
Is it one of the bonus tracks by chance? Why are we walking when there's a horse right next to us?
Or an elephant. There's also a track called Spielberg's Definitely Gonna Bang Kate Capshaw.
is there a song called Sorry Wally Gator, There's Not a Big Rolling Boulder in This One?
What this movie needs is a rolling boulder.
We still got whips though, Wally.
Yeah, there's also a hidden track called Spielberg Adopts a Bunch of Third World Children to Atone for Perpetrating a Racial Stereotype.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Boy, Baby Metal is back!
I remember watching MTV, Reese's Pieces, and E.T., Billie Jean on the radio, Friday nights at the arcade, playing all my favorite games, and take me back to the good old days, when all we ever did was dream big and just be kids. Super Mario and G.I. Joe, I never wanna let it go. I never wanna let it go. Pack all my friends in the DeLorean, go back in time and on a journey again, like Indiana Jones. I never wanna let it go. We were living on a prayer, spin the bottle, truth or dare, racing my friends in that old Trans Am. John Candy still had time, River Phoenix in his prime. What a time to live, busy being kids, the wonder years of our lives. Jordan for the win, and the Tigers took the pin. Parachute pants, Reeboks, and Skid Row, I never wanna let it go. Never wanna let it go. Pack all my friends in the DeLorean, go back in time and on a journey again, like Indiana Jones. I never wanna let it go. I never wanna let it go. Make my day when I need to hit rewind and listen line by line. I sit down and drop the needle and push play every day. Saturday mornings with the Smurfs, Sunday singing in the church, renting movies from Blockbuster Video. We would go outside to play instead of texting to say hey, and never thought we'd have it any other way. I never wanna let it go. I never wanna let it go. Pack all my friends in the DeLorean, go back in time and on a journey again, like Indiana Jones.
So Ozzy has just made an announcement, that is that all his 2019 dates are postponed due to having a sprain in his ankle from a three-way with Matt LeBlanc and Cher.
Yeah, I think Matt LeBlanc is Ozzy's scissor sister.
That's an interesting image.
They're kind of like sideways slamming bags.
You know what would be really, really... You know what would be really difficult, though, is taking sex instructions from Ozzy. You have no idea what he's saying.
Oh, gobbles me swaks, gobbles.
So I'm not sure if you knew this, but I was kind of interested in this because Megadeth had announced the Mega Cruise or whatever it's called. You remember the Gigantour, whatever it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was like kind of organizing his own thing, and I had one of my favorite concerts last year was seeing Mustache, and he had showed me in like an email chain between himself and Dave talking about some tour he was putting together, and that tour was called Kegadeth. It was supposed to be this
with a kind of a craft brew theme thing.
Yep,
like a festival. He hadn't really announced a lot of details on it, but it was, you know, sort of kind of in the works.
Right, and it was supposed to be kind of a more diverse rock fest. And the point of me telling you that is they were going to premiere their new beer at that too, but anyway, so he completely put all those plans on hold to go on tour with Ozzy. So the person that's fucked the most on this is and us is Mustaine, because I was really looking forward to that. It was going to be, I think, not a one stop place. It was going to actually be a new fest, and I don't know. I mean, I just have to say that Dave has seemed to, I think he is an advocate for rock in general. You know what I mean? Like a self-starter. Like, he's making
a lot of great bands on that Gigantour that you just mentioned.
Yeah, Bobo Flux was on that one back in the day and stuff like that. And I just think it's cool because he is actually the person making the calls to these bands. And the fact that he would even reach out to Mustache, a random band that most people don't know who they are, all the way from Sweden, I think that's pretty cool. I think the lineup was going to be pretty solid, is my point. And that's too bad that didn't happen. I hope it happens next year, though, but... But that's the first thing I thought about when he delayed all those dates, is my point.
Yeah, well, that's too bad, yeah.
I don't know if you have anything else to say about that.
Well, really. Yeah, I mean, it might be time for Ozzy to hang it up. He's having – I mean, these are complications from his ATV accident, they're saying, from like 2003 or 4, whenever that was. And I've always just kind of had this sense that, like, anytime Sharon's, you know, MasterCard gets a little too maxed out, she puts Ozzy on tour, you know, parades him out there. And
sure.
As much as I give her credit for basically creating what we now consider Ozzy, I don't know that would have ever happened without her. I don't begrudge her for taking her fair share is what I mean there. It might be time to like look at him as a human being and a husband and say, well, either we're doing this three way with Matt LeBlanc or you're not going on tour.
So. Yeah, I mean, besides creating Ozzy, I'm not sure if you know this, but Sharon also created the Moons Over Miami.
Nobody was late for their shift with her. No one called in sick. They quit.
Yeah, I mean, but Sharon is an inspiration, though. I mean, I mean, what other path of success have you seen that went Denny's, Shoney's, then Ozzy? So I want to share something that's very near and dear to my heart, and you know, so I could not wait to talk about this, and I was just like just screaming with glee when I saw this news article, and that is, I'm not sure if you know this, but there is a new Holidio coming out for 2019 and a 100-date tour to be announced.
Still to be announced, though. I mean, it's been, 3 years they've been – it's been TBA, this motherfucker. All right, so – yeah, I actually saw the video of the spanking new updated Holidio 2.0. Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, and I had as you know,
Joe Biden thinks this is creepy.
Yeah, he's just kind of a sweet creepy though, that Biden, right?
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah. But yeah, Joe Biden is like, I don't think I want Holidio invading my personal space.
No, I understand that. So anyway, so the as you know, the Dio Disciples came around Denver last August, as I mentioned that then, and I had reached out to the Disciples because I didn't know if it was going to be a Holidio show or not. You know what I mean? Like it was a small bar.
Yeah, they slapped you back, baby.
Well, they did, but I just want to – can they –
they're like, get your head out of your ass, Loose Cannon. No, it is not.
So I have sent out a message, though, to the Dio Disciples, whoever runs their Facebook page. Would you like me to read it?
I would, yeah.
Okay. So for those that haven't heard it, I started the exchange last August, and I said, hello, Mr. Disciple. I'm going to assume there is no Holidio at this venue. And I was asking for the set time. And he said back to me, hi, Luce. The hologram is actually called Dio Returns, not Holidio. This is a Dio Disciples show. We go on at 11 p.m. And I just said, thank you, sir, and went about my business. Now, with the new announcement of the 2.0, I sent back, hi there, great show at Herman's Hideaway Los August. I'd never made it to it. I saw the tour announcement. What are the new features of Holidio 2.0? I have now seen that they have read that comment on the chain. It's been 24 hours and there's been no response. So I don't think I'm going to get one.
Yeah, probably not. They're like, not this guy again.
But what do you think? What would you like the features to be of the Holidio?
I would like it to go away. I don't like it. Well, except for
that's the main feature.
I am just against the whole hologram thing for dead people in general. Although, what do you think about this? How about we twist this up?
Yeah.
You and I skip Rock and Pod, and we send Baco and Loose Cannon holograms in our place.
I like it.
And you get the holo cast.
We already do holo barking.
Yeah, exactly. You can see the holograms holo bark.
Yeah. What about here's my question, though. Would you rather go see Dio Disciples with Holidio or actually see A Corpse of Dokken show? Which was more alive?
Boy. Well, I got to pick the Holidio because I've already seen Corpse of Dokken a couple times. And then I could tell you what I think is more alive. But I'm guessing the Holidio. And I'm also guessing the Holidio is about 6'2", don't you think?
The thing is interesting is now it has a whole screen behind it. Like, it's such an odd thing to begin with.
Isn't it weird that they have live music too? Like, what's the fucking point? Why do you need musicians performing along with this? We know he's not singing. At least we hope it's not. Maybe it's a ghost.
So you're proposing that the Holidio thing should just be like a what do you call it? Like a piano bar or some lounge where Holidio is just put on.
I'm saying
on
it should
stage.
Be like going to a movie. You're hearing stuff that was pre-recorded played back at you. Why do I need Craig Goldie playing Vivian Campbell parts or Black Sabbath riffs? while I'm also hearing a tape of Dio sing while the hologram pretends to sing.
But when they're saying new features, what features? You know.
And now Hala Dio can open your beer for you.
Can Hala Dio have a three-way with Matt and Sharon on stage?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that? Does Hala Dio, what about?
A devil's four-way. Throw in Ozzy. Get it, just all dudes. Oh, my God. What's a hollow spunk look like? When it's like
hollow spunk. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah. What are the new features on a fucking hologram? I mean, my God, it's a hologram, right? Yeah, well, this hologram can suck your dick. This hologram pulls up in front of Tommy Lee's house in a red Corvette and is like, I'll let you drive it if you fuck me.
Exactly. Worst firsts.
Worst firsts.
When I had to fuck Hala Dio. Unfortunately, it was Hala Dio 1.0. The 2.0 is much tighter.
My God. You know, it's odd you said that. I'm getting a fax right now, and the fax is from Hala Dio, so Hala Dio can apparently send faxes.
Of course you would send a fax.
The fax is promoting Hala Dio's, like, off-season job, which is preparing people's taxes. So look out, H&R Block. Hala Dio is also good with the books.
He can train your dragon.
He can repair waffle irons. Very specific trade, don't you think?
Fun fact, hell of a spackler.
Yesterday it's been and gone. Tomorrow will I find the sun, or will it rain? Everybody's having fun, except me, I'm the lonely one. I live in shame. I see goodbye.
a beer contributor from a few episodes back, Josh Toomey from the Talk Toomey podcast. He had actually bought us the Metallica Enter Night beer, which both of you and I got stymied trying to get. I think I broke down the places I went to. Buying this latest round of beers, I was actually trying to find this goddamn Hefeweizen in this sea of just random beers at Total Wine, and right in front of me all of a sudden was a six-pack of Enter Night. So for the $10 contribution Josh made to the show, I bought a $13 six-pack. I took it home, had one, and then I decided, you know who would like this? Loose Cannon. How do I get this to Denver, Colorado? Which is, of course, not really a legal thing that I did, but what I did is I took it to work, I boxed the sucker up, I wrapped her up in bubble wrap, I put a Ziploc bag around it before that, I packed this thing tight.
yes, you did.
And I paid another $14 to send one can to Denver, Colorado to your house, because I wanted to get it there in time for the show. Anyway, so yeah, I end up spending
$17 loss.
And I'm not even talking about the time I spent looking for it originally. You know what I mean? I wasn't looking for it when I found it. I was just all of a sudden face to face with this thing, and I'm like, motherfucker. So then I'm like, well, I got to buy it now. Anyway, so yeah, even though we've already gone, Josh gave us a secondary pick, I thought we could at least give him a little shout-out since I went to such great pains to make sure that you could have one with me. So you ready?
Yeah, no, I just have one thing to say, if I could, before I open it up.
Of course, yeah.
You know, it's on. It's time to get started, to crank things up, to get loud. That thumping you feel in your chest isn't your imagination, Baco. It's your heart. It's life. It's the rockin' tunes. It's your inspiration ready to break out. Yeah?
Yeah!
There's actually another four lines of this bullshit on the side of the can. Did
yeah, these are
this?
Actually leftover lyrics from Saint Anger.
I think they are. They're better.
the cutting room floor was a good place to be if you were lyrics.
My God. Anyway, so you'd like me to open this $14 shipping for one beer?
Yeah, crack her open. I already got mine.
Okay. If you haven't seen this, we'll post it on our page, too. The can itself, I just got to tell you, is pretty badass. Enter Night with a Metallica.
Yeah, no, it's got a flat black finish.
Yep. Got like the it's got a speaker on one side with an A jumping out of it, an M going on the other side. Got a little devil guy on the front.
That's the Stone mascot, right? He's on all their stuff?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So, yeah, because it's Stone Brewing. So let me just open this up. This is a Pilsner, which it's a 16-ouncer.
Smell it here.
Oh, nice. Okay, so let me little foamy here on the top. Very clear. It's like as clear as a Coors Light, kind of like that kind of clear. But you told me this was a little hearty, so let me just see what I think.
Yeah, it's
here.
Not as flavor free as a Coors Light as you
it
would
smells.
Say.
It smells a little maybe a little citrus. I'm not sure. It's 5.7. So here we go. I don't even know how to describe this. It's got a weird aftertaste. Man, this is somewhere in between an IPA and a Pilsner. It's an odd taste.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe it'll grow on me. It's like it's not enough of either. It's not bad.
I've had mine open here.
Yeah, as far as the big four, I will go with the, because I've had it before, the Megadeth beer. I like that one better.
Oh, well, this has been a lot of fun as always, Loose Cannon. Pleasure talking to you, but it's time to get out of here, don't you think?
Agreed, yes.
All right, let's do this. Rock is not dead.
It's stuck in a unisex bathroom in the middle of Joshua Tree with Eric Roberts.
So fucking what? Brighton, I've been to Eastbourne too. So what? So what? And I've been here, I've been there, I've been every fucking where. So what? So what? So what? So what? You boring little cunt. Well, who cares? Who cares? You do. Yeah, who cares? Who cares about you? You.
What's a higher class version of a Hello Kitty? Like goodbye, goodbye tiger?
I don't know.
You know, my eraser's well worn because I make a lot of mistakes. But one mistake I never make is buying Kiss merchandise at Spencer's. You know, you've heard of Hello Kitty. Mm-mm, I don't buy that. I buy the high class stuff. Goodbye Tiger brand Kiss stuff. I have an entire collection of Kiss pajamas made of unicorn.
You accuse me of cheating? You cheated!
You make me poor. No fun. Play with you. No fun.
Oh, the place is completely surrounded. The entire place is crawling with living things.
That's why they call it the jungle, sweetheart.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.